We wish to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we have recorded this podcast, the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Boodjaa. We pay respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and acknowledge the traditions of all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. We particularly acknowledge their connection to the telling of stories and how verbal interactions help to preserve their culture and language, and we certainly hope to draw from that. They say there are two certainties in life, death and taxes. And you're not here for a podcast about taxes. Death is a part of life. However, it's not a part of conversation about life or in life. Talking about death is not common. However, death is common. It is inevitable. So I'm here to break down barriers and smash stigmas by interviewing experts in the field of death and dying, the professions which we seldom speak of. Also, the stories of grief and loss, and often triumph, which comes from that profound loss. We're dying to talk, and we think you will be too, once you know more. Hashtag death, because conversations about death and dying should be trending. Hello and welcome to a little bit of a different vibe today. I'm doing another solo episode, which I've done only one of so far in this series, hashtag death. A few of my guests have just had to switch around some scheduling. So I decided to do a top 10. I've decided to do 10 things I've learned about death, not only since doing this podcast, but if I go right back to the entire time that I've been in this vocation, which is something that I'm extremely passionate about. So I hope you enjoy this little solo episode. And starting with 10 and going right down to 1, these are the things I've learned about death. So number 10, talk about it. Conversations do matter and conversations are happening. So obviously the guise of hashtag death is conversations about death and dying should be trending. So that means we should be talking about death and dying, grief and loss more than what we are. But I've definitely seen, just in the short space of time that I've been passionate about this and, you know, interviewing professionals, we are having more conversations. And the fact that people, friends and family, now know that I do this podcast and that obviously I am a funeral celebrant, more people, I think, feel comfortable to come up to me, you know, at gatherings or if I run into people and actually say to me, I'm really struggling with, you know, the loss of my sister. She died 10 years ago and I still don't feel like I've dealt with it. Or they'll speak to me about how a funeral experience was a really good one that they had, or how something that happened to them in the funeral space many years ago made them decide to do things differently, say, for example, when their next loved one died and so on and so forth. So those conversations are happening. So please, I implore you to keep them going. Number 9, as we count down, you can run, but you can't hide. So this one's a little bit leaning into my number 10, people bringing up with me grief and loss that has happened potentially some time ago that is manifesting itself and presenting itself in their day-to-day life, even years and years later, both physical ailments and mentally struggling. And just that if you don't deal with your death and loss and grief of your loved one at the time, which is hard because people have families, they have obligations, they have things that are blocking them from really sitting in their grief and immersing themselves in what they're going through, the grief will find you. The grief will find you, it will catch up with you, and it will make you sit up and pay attention. So you can run, but you can't hide. I think it's definitely true that to sit in that grief, acknowledge how painful it is, potentially to seek professional help or help of some sort, support groups. You know, I've had a number of guests on that are very experienced in offering grief assistance, such as Michelle Moriarty, who is Grief Connect and the Grief Language Project. she's that very specific grief of losing an intimate partner. There's just so much need out there for that support. So seek it, find it, and walk through the dark forest of grief and loss so that when you do come out the other side, there is light rather than that darkness really living inside you and being around you for many, many years and then it really growing legs and perhaps outrunning you at some point way down the track. So, number 8, professionals are worth their weight in gold. Obviously, I'm a huge advocate for this in as much as I'm a professional within the funeral industry, but really going to a workshop about the Palliative Care Australia Advanced Care Directive, these sorts of professionals that offer you the insight, the knowledge, the how-to are worth their weight in gold. It's the same as seeing a professional grief counsellor after your loved one has died. It's the same as employing an amazing funeral director with many years' experience and a team of professionals to help you and guide you through your loved one's funeral. Going and seeing a professional to do a prepaid funeral, someone who'll sit and explain it to you. These professionals are really worth their weight in gold. And the same goes for any pre-need sort of assistance, such as death doulas and people that can educate, guide, and help with anything in the death and dying space. So professionals are worth their weight in gold because it's what they do every day. You can get a friend to help you or a family member. You can get a family member to be the celebrant on the day of the funeral. All of that is absolutely fine, especially if they've got the skill set to go with those roles. But it's a little bit like getting someone to fix your car engine. You really do sometimes just need to take it to a mechanic because there might be other things under the surface that you didn't know about. And the same goes for the death and dying space and, of course, the funeral industry as well. Number 7, as we count down, laugh, be authentic and lighten the mood. I go and see families all the time that are quite candid, either in the way that they speak about their loved one, the things that they entrust me with, funny stories and just sharing and laughing. I mean, it's not always possible. I know that many deaths are just so tragic and heart-wrenching that at the time, there's zero possibility that you could ever crack a joke or feel lighthearted about any of it. But if there is in any way, especially if the person who has passed is particularly humorous, if you can insert that into the dealings that you have with professionals, the actual funeral service itself, all of these things have great impact. They ensure that people feel relaxed, seen, heard, and just feel like they're really celebrating that person's life in the right way. So laugh, be authentic, and lighten the mood as much as you possibly can. Number 6 is plan, plan, plan. So I said a couple of digits ago, I've done one of those advanced care directive workshops with Palliative Care Australia. This is part of the planning. And part of the reason why planning is so important is that it takes pressure and anxiety away from your loved ones. You'll remember my episode a few episodes ago. It was a pre-Christmas chat with Lisa from the Bottom Drawer book. Now, that's all about planning. It's all about planning not only for your funeral, but for your way that you want to be remembered. It's almost like putting an authentic stamp over the top of how you want to be remembered, what you want done and said, and the music that you want played, and all of the elements that really make up who you are as a person. You can also help others to plan. So this may be elderly parents, it may be elderly grandparents, it may be someone in your family who has a life-limiting illness, or perhaps even younger people that have absolutely no idea and that hopefully they won't be dying anytime soon, but that may want to sit down and talk about, well, what do I want when I die? What do I want to be remembered for? How do I want my assets distributed, et cetera, et cetera? So you've also got my episode to refer back on with Laura Tatchell from Tatchell Legal. That's all about planning as well. So that's about planning more on the legal side of things, wills and probate, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, plan, plan, plan. So we're halfway through. Number five, it doesn't have to cost the earth. I think one of the biggest myths about funerals in particular is that they are ridiculously expensive and that funeral companies rip people off. I have not found this to be the case, especially here in Western Australia. I think it was quite a regulated industry, being that it is attached to the government. So the Metropolitan Cemeteries Board and the cemetery fees, et cetera, et cetera, are very standardised here. There's also lots of different options for not costing the earth when you're putting someone's body in the earth or cremating them. You can have a no service, no attend cremation. So that just means that your loved one is taken into the care of the either funeral director or direct with the cemetery, and they are laid to rest, they're cremated. And then when you get their ashes back, that may not have cost you much more than a couple of $1,000s. And then you can have a memorial service. And people are doing this more and more. I've got a couple of posts on my Instagram back from 2020 and 2021 when memorials for me as a funeral celebrant started to become really, really popular due to COVID restrictions and a lot of people being based overseas and they couldn't attend funerals. These are still really popular. And you can really make them authentic. You can personalize so many elements, as you can with funerals as well. But it just opens up an opportunity for you to do things your way. So it doesn't have to cost the earth. There's lots of budget options that are still beautiful ways of commemorating your loved one. Number four, before we die, celebrate. So obviously, we hear the cliches, you know, live every day like it's your last, live life to the fullest, you never know when your time is up. But I think sometimes that is lost in the wash of everyday life and tasks and how difficult things can be and how much we have on our plate. But one thing that I'm referring to a little more specifically, which I have mentioned in a couple of episodes that I've done of Hashtag Death, is the fact that I do have a beautiful friend who had a living wake. We call a living wake or a living memorial. And it was amazing. It's terrible that she died. It was an awful way for her to go. She had cancer. There's really no way of saying that it made anything okay. But I have spoken about this in the past. By gathering her loved ones together and giving her a living wake where we sat in a room with her, she got beautifully dressed up, and we all told stories about how we'd met her impression that she had made on us initially and then ongoing, how much of a beautiful soul she is and was. I found it very profound. I found it very powerful. And I facilitated it as a celebrant to a small degree, but it was quite an organic experience. I would recommend having a professional there just to keep it under control, because obviously it can be extremely emotive. But it was a beautiful experience. I loved hearing everybody else's stories and how common themes ran through, how loved she was, how much people loved her engaging personality and how deeply she listened. And then when she did pass a few days later, I think I've spoken about this on the podcast as well, I actually felt uplifted and light and okay that she had passed, because it was like I had had such a wonderful opportunity to say goodbye in my own way, and that I knew that many others had done so. And by having that event as a touchstone in her life while she was still alive was like the most beautiful little nugget of love that I refer back to all the time. Then when she did have a memorial service, which I also was privileged enough to facilitate, I just felt like the event had so much more celebration to it because we'd gotten the opportunity to tell her how much we loved her and to sit in her space, in her life while she was still living, and tell the stories like people do when someone dies. So that would be before we die, celebrate. The number three is don't look down. Now, that doesn't mean don't look down when you're going to jump off a cliff. It doesn't mean don't look down into the grave. It means don't look down and run away when you see people that are grieving, that have gone through a big loss, that are going through a difficult time, and run away. Because I think I've talked about this on the podcast before as well. I had my most beautiful friend who took her life, and I ran into her family, you know, long story short, in the shopping centre. I didn't conduct the funeral, so it was several weeks later. And I needed to go up and give my condolences because I had not had a chance to see them in person. I hadn't been in attendance at the funeral, as I said, because I was conducting another funeral that day. And when I walked over to them, I just burst into tears and said, I'm so sorry for the loss of and their loved one's name. And I said, I don't know what to say. I was lost for words, even though I work in this space every day. And they said to me, we've seen people look at us across the shopping centre mall today. We've seen them look at us, look down and avoid our eye and go the other way. And I've actually interviewed a number of people on the podcast and in real life as well for my job as a funeral celebrant, and just spoken to people who say that this is quite common, that awkwardness that people feel when they know that you are grieving, when they know that you are struggling, when they know that you are in need of support and understanding and empathy, that they choose to look down and run away, or their friendship fades and they go away from you rather than running toward you and supporting you. And I think this is just profound of how we don't know how to be uncomfortable in our own uncomfortableness in Western society around death and dying culture. So don't look down. Go over to that person. Go and see that person. Make that phone call and just say to them, I'm here for you. I don't know what to say, but I see you. I feel you. And I just want you to know that I'm thinking of you. And I may not be able to find the right words, but I think that's better than not saying any words at all. So don't look down. Go over and talk to your people that you know that have lost someone. Okay, so my final two things that I have learned about death, top 10, since doing this podcast and also working in the funeral industry, is you are not alone. I think a lot of people indicate to me that grief is very isolating. Planning a funeral is extremely overwhelming, even if you've done it before. Legal requirements and legal parameters around wills and probate are overwhelming and confusing at times. Once again, I would obviously direct you to listen to my previous episodes, because all of this stuff that people have told me, that's a big part of the reason why I did the podcast, is because I felt that people were never really prepared for what they were tasked with when a loved one dies. And that's everything from choosing clothes for their loved one to wear right through to doing wills and probate and everything in between, and how swiftly a lot of decisions have to be made and how isolating that can feel before, during and after the passing, obviously the funeral process, and then, you know, dealing with the grief for years and years after. So that really goes back to, you know, my point number 9, you can run, but you can't hide. You know, you are not alone. There are other people that have been through this, that are going through this. Find those supports, reach out, get the help that you need. Obviously, seek the professional help that will guide you and help you through. And just know that little resources like my podcast, other podcasts, Instagram pages, websites, you know, articles. There's a wonderful lady I'll link to the show notes called Mari Andrews. I follow her. She's got like a blog and a newsletter. She writes beautifully about grief. And you can also search, obviously, any search engine, read books. And, you know, even during the planning process for the funeral, or if your loved one is in the process, you know, of being palliative, any of that, there's always people that you can reach out to. So you are not alone. My number one tip and thing that I have learned through working in the industry about death, dying, and grief is be you. Share very authentic funerals and memorials because these absolutely rock. Now, when I say be you, it probably is more be the person who's no longer with us. So whoever they are, whatever they loved, bring it to life. I'll give you some examples of some of the most beautiful and authentic services that I've ever been privileged enough to be a part of. The first one that comes to mind is the gentleman that always wore his white t-shirt and blue jeans everywhere he went, and he loved his whiskey, and he also had a catchphrase of just chuck me in a cardboard box and put me on the verge. So what did his family do? They got a cardboard coffin, which you can get. You can get many different types of coffins, actually. Cardboard coffin. They drew all over it and wrote messages all over it. They had little whiskey shots at the service, and everyone wore their blue jeans and white t-shirt. One of the other ones that really stands out for me is a gentleman who loved camping, and we went up to a national park and we had a fire. Some of his friends had a couple of beers, and we put him in the back of his very own Land Cruiser wagon, and it was just amazing. The funeral company that facilitated it was so good. Then at the end, we switched him over and took him to be laid to rest elsewhere in the hearse, in the actual funeral director's hearse. But he arrived at the service in the back of his own camping vehicle that he loved. And it was just so authentic. There's something about doing things within the service that the person loved that makes the experience feel very, you know, just feel, I'm overusing the word authentic, but certainly very personalised, and it just brings a bit of a comfort, I think, in what is a really tough day. Music, things you love or your loved one loved, use them. You know, funny, quirky poems, sayings, humour, funny photos. A lot of people add videos now because we've got so much access to video content on our phones. You know, all the funny photos, the photos that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily have on the coffee table, you know, for when people come over, but put them in the photo tribute, put them in and let everyone have a laugh and a giggle. And if you can, I know that not all deaths when we're commemorating lives can be lighthearted. I know that that's not always the case, but even if it is a really tough and tragic death, still bring that authenticity into the funeral service or the memorial service. If you feel like a memorial is more your thing or more your loved one's thing, just do that. Just use the memorial service. You don't have to have a funeral in a chapel. You can have a memorial service anywhere you want. You can incorporate the wake and the memorial service all in one. You can have lots of drinks and people sharing stories. And yeah, I would say that that would be my number one takeaway of things that I have learned since working in the funeral industry and doing this podcast is be you, be authentic. Share those authentic funerals and memorials because they absolutely rock. So that's going to wrap up my solo episode. I hope you've enjoyed listening. I know that I've certainly enjoyed putting this list together because it's often a good reminder for me as to why I do what I do. So sharing the podcast with you and bringing all these professionals and people that have got personal grief stories, obviously it's interesting and intriguing for me. But I want you to take away those 10 things as well. So talk about it. Conversations are happening and they are becoming more frequent. You can run, but you can't hide. Professionals are worth their weight in gold. Laugh and be authentic and lighten the mood. Plan, plan, plan. It doesn't have to cost the earth. Before we die, celebrate. Don't look down. You are not alone, and be you. So they're my 10. I hope you've enjoyed this. It's almost exciting as the old top 10 countdown on Rage or one of those shows. just about anyway. And I've certainly enjoyed my episode of the podcast. As we approach the end of the financial year, I am going to be wrapping up this first season of the podcast. So that's going to be a pretty long first season, and I'll probably be returning after a little break and maybe bringing you some slightly different content moving forward. So happy to have had you on board. We've still got a couple of our normal death and dying, grief and loss episodes to come, but I just thought I'd change it up a bit and bring you this top 10. So have a great day and keep those conversations about death and dying going.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you found this episode informative, interesting, or if you learned something, we'd love for you to follow, rate, and review, share, tell your friends and family. And also, maybe you'll be dying to talk after today, and you might even start a conversation about death and dying, because we know that it's either that or you'll have to talk about taxes. And we know that death's not that boring, right? Thanks again.